There's been so many of these that it doesn't quite get the headline status that the first one did, but there is a new revised GOP health care bill proposal that has been floated out there. To learn what is new in it and what chance it has, Mary Agnes Carey, from partnerships editor and senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News, is on the line with us right now. Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
So what's new in this one, highlight version from the previous attempts?
Well, one thing that's getting a lot of attention is a change that was pushed by Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas, and Mike Lee is from Utah. They're both Republicans that want to allow insurers to offer health insurance plans that don't comply with all the standards of the Affordable Care Act. You might remember that these plans have to cover a set list of benefits like maternity care and pediatric services and stuff. As long as an insurer offers one plan that complies with the Affordable Care Act, they can offer plans that don't. And there's a lot of concern about that, that the sicker people that need more comprehensive care might go into that plan, and then the rest would go to these perhaps less expensive and less comprehensive coverage of plans. So that's
all right. Well, but if that's what people want, I mean, if as long as they have the option to get a better one, what's the downside of that?
Well, the downside is that you could unwittingly perhaps buy a health insurance plan that has a very low cap on hospitalization services, for example. And you don't know that until you have a serious incident and you're hospitalized. But to your point, there are people, I've heard them for years covering the Affordable Care Act, that say, you know, I don't want maternity care. I'm a 50-year-old male. I'm not going to have any kids. I'm not married to anybody who's going to have kids. I don't want that. So that's kind of, this is really a big bone for the conservatives to try to get more of them. The revised draft out today also adds another $45 billion to combat the opioid crisis. This has been a big deal for a lot of Republican senators in states that have had issues with this, like West Virginia or Ohio.
Wow.
That's something that's new. There's also an additional $70 billion on top of the $100 billion in the base bill that is going to be given to states to help them reduce premiums or try to hold down out-of-pocket costs for consumers with this whole goal of making insurance more affordable. Another big change from the prior bill is this particular draft of the Senate Republican bill on the Affordable Care Act would keep a 3.8% tax on investment income and about a percentage point tax increase on Medicare payroll tax for people who make $200,000 as an individual or $250,000 or more for a couple.
Now that was a big
yeah.
bone of contention for the Republicans. I mean, that's where a huge part of the money comes from here, and that's where, you know, poor people say, well, the rich can afford it, and rich people say, well, why do we have to pay, you know, 4% tax on our investments and nobody else does? And that was a big Republican tenet. None of the previous ones had that back included, did they?
Right. No, the House bill that passed, the House Republican bill that passed the House, kept this repeal of those taxes. Now, as we know, that this current version of the Senate bill keeps the taxes. But, you know, some of the Democrats were talking today that don't think that the rich are getting off scot-free because of a variety of things, including allowing people to use a health savings account to help pay for their health insurance premiums. These are tax-deferred accounts that people can use for medical expenses. They're paired with high deductible plans. The feeling is unless you have enough money to put in an HSA, you're not going to benefit by it. And this bill, even as the prior one would still repeal taxes on the medical device industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry. And critics of the bill say if you kept those taxes in place, you would have more money to make insurance even more affordable.
Right. What about the real big points about who's going to be on Medicare and who isn't, and how many Americans would end up losing insurance as a result of this, and pre-existing conditions?
So I think you're probably talking about the Medicaid program rather than the Medicare program.
Right, Medicaid, sorry.
Yeah, so they made some tweaks. They, being the House, Senate Republicans, rather, made some tweaks in the Medicaid provisions. But the bottom line is the bill would still change the funding structure for Medicaid from an uncapped federal entitlement to a set amount of money. The changes they had include if a state had a particular health emergency like a, you know, pandemic flu outbreak or a hurricane, and they needed additional Medicaid spending in a particular part of the state, that spending wouldn't count against the caps. They also changed a formula to help hospitals cover uncompensated
care.
But
would any of this result in significantly more people, poor people, having insurance than the previous plans?
Well, we'll have to wait officially for the Congressional Budget Office score to come out next week, but the thought is as the underlying bill meant that something like 14 million more people wouldn't have Medicaid coverage in, I think, about 15 million more in a decade, that number is still going to be pretty solid, pretty much the same when the Congressional Budget Office scores it next week.
And pre-existing conditions, which is something that always people are concerned about.
Right. Well, if plans are allowed to not comply with the Affordable Care Act coverage standards, then one could assume that they could create plans that would not cover what you need, right? Your pre-existing condition, or that there may be some flexibility in there to charge you more if you have a pre-existing condition to get that coverage. And the underlying bill always allowed states to come and get waivers so they could have insurers that wouldn't have to cover the essential health benefits, the pre-existing conditions, that kind of thing. So that is still very much in play here.
Appreciate all that information. And again, as I said at the start, who knows what form this one will ultimately take or if it'll even go anywhere. So, you know, this is like the boy who cried wolf five times over. But we'll see if this one gets through. Mary Agnes Carey, I appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
From Kaiser Health News and Partnerships Editor and Senior Correspondent.
For them.
I don't know. Not while there's all this other junk going on, because you need political capital to pass these things.
That means you're not getting tax reform done anyway, right? Because don't you have to do this first?
No, you won't get tax reform. This was tax reform.
I mean it's
that 4%
right.
investment thing was a huge part of the tax reform that he was going to change. That was going to help, you know, pay for some of the
That's
other
what I'm
stuff.
Saying. So you can't do one without the other one. You got to get this one done
and
first.
And as long as people are arguing over Russians and getting hit on with a French first lady, I don't see this happening before this year is out.